Bibles, if you haven't already, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to be looking this morning at verses 12 through 27. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 27. We have finished our long series in Romans, and soon we'll be studying a portion of the Old Testament. We're going to be looking at a portion of Deuteronomy. It's going to be exciting. But I wanted to take a chance to share with you a couple of messages about the local church. I thought that that would be helpful to us. We talked recently about baptism. We had the baptism service last week, and baptism logically flows in to talking about the local church, and you're going to see why in just a second. So let us ask for God's help as we look at his word together in 1 Corinthians. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and that it's true, and I pray that you would bless us as we read your word, that you would speak to us, give us open hearts to hear from you, help us to understand, and more than that, to believe and to obey what you've said. And I just ask you for your help, and I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So last week at the baptism service, I shared with you from Acts chapter 2, the passage that I share over and over, I feel like. Maybe, I hope you feel like that too. I hope it feels very familiar to you. At the end of Acts chapter 2, Peter is giving his sermon on the day of Pentecost, and he calls on the people there to believe in Jesus. He says, "This same Jesus that you crucified is now Lord in Christ." And they say, "What should we do?" He says, "Believe and be baptized and for the forgiveness of your sins." And so the people believe, and many of them are baptized. And it says, and 3,000 people were added to their number. So it went from them believing and then going on record as believers through baptism to being added to their number. And what number is that? Well, it's the number of people in this new church that is being formed. It went from 120 to 3,000, like in one day. And they, and somebody's like counting. And somebody's writing down names, I would think. And they're gathering together. And then it goes into a description of what the local church did together, that they met together in large group for worship, in small groups, in homes. They listened to the apostles' teaching. They ate together. They met each other's financial needs when somebody had a need, and they shared their faith with others, and there were more and more people being added to their number. It says more were added to their number every day. And then a couple chapters later, it talks about how now there are 5,000 people. You know, so they're being added to their number. So that is kind of a glimpse of the idea that there is such a thing in the book of Acts, and we see glimpses of it elsewhere, of church membership, local church membership, that when people become believers in Jesus, they then become part of a group of people that they meet together to worship the Lord together and learn from God's word together and serve each other and proclaim the good news together. They know who each other are. They know these are the people that are in this local church. They're together in the local church. It's an idea of church membership. And now sometimes people ask me, and they're coming to talk to me about church membership, and they say, "Well, what difference does it make if I become a member or not?" And I've sometimes kind of stumbled around in my answer, and I've said something, about our Calvary Chapel bylaws, or said something about there are certain ministries that, you know, we allow, you know, our policies allow certain people to do certain ministries if they're members and not if they're not. And I kind of stumble around like that in my answer. And I want to give us a better answer than I give those people. And so I thought I want to share with you this teaching from the Bible about what is church membership? I think in our culture, we're predisposed to be suspicious of church membership. And I think maybe some of that comes from, there's a lot of Catholic influence in our area, and I'm not saying this is like this for every person who's a Catholic, but in the Catholic model of membership, there's lots of steps that you have to go through, a lot of boxes to check, and for some people it seems very controlling. And the way that I've heard some people talk about membership in the Catholic Church was, well, I couldn't be married inside the church because I hadn't had my first communion and I wasn't a member in good standing. And so they were kind of talking about membership that way. It was a bad experience. Or I couldn't take the Lord's Supper because I had been divorced or, you know, something happened, you know, like, and there's this sort of negative experience that they had with church membership. And then there are also in our, just around here, there are some churches, not just here, but in the Western world, there are churches that are very loose when it comes to membership. And they say something like, well, if you attend here, I guess you're a member. You know, it doesn't matter if you're, there's no like formal membership or official membership of the church. If you show up, you're a member. But there's a issue that you run into with that, because if somebody shows up, that doesn't necessarily mean that they share the common faith of the people that are gathered. So are there going to be members of the church who are not believers in Christ? It could happen, you know? And then when it comes time for the church to make a decision together, who gets to participate in that decision-making process? How do you know? Is it just anybody who shows up, you're going to have people that are not believers in Christ that are making decisions for the church, and that's in my mind is an issue. And so what I want to do today is talk about church membership, but not just the structure of church membership at Calvary Chapel, but the meaning behind it. What does it mean to be a member? And I think this is going to be helpful for you if you are a member, to solidify your understanding. If you're not a member and I want to encourage you, if you're not a member, to think about what membership would mean. So this is going to be helpful to you. So 1 Corinthians 12, and let me read the passage. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 27. Paul writes, and Paul is writing to a church in a city called Corinth in Greece. This is a church with a lot of problems, and this is what Paul writes to this church with problems. The same author that wrote Romans that we studied recently. For just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Indeed, the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. It's okay to chuckle. Paul's trying to be funny here. I know it's the Bible and this is church and stuff, but he's trying to make some jokes. It is kind of funny, you know? What if a foot actually talked and said, I'm not part of a body? Okay, verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts in the body just as he wanted. And if they were all the same part, what would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or again, the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that are weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body that we consider less honorable, we clothe these with greater honor, and our unrespectable parts are treated with greater respect, which our respectable parts do not need. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. This is God's word. In 1 Corinthians, Paul is dealing with a particular issue. Some people in the local church think of themselves as more important than others, more gifted, and then other people think, well, no, actually, I'm more important, and there's this competition. Or sometimes the other people would think, well, you're right. You know, you are more gifted to me, and I'm less important. I'm not really worth much in this church. So, like, there's this issue going on. And Paul is using this teaching about the body to help the believers in Corinth think differently. And this image is important for how we think about church membership too. I'm not going to deal specifically, you know, very much with this issue of competition right now, but I want to think about what does it mean to be a member of the church. And at its most basic level, a member literally is a body part. Like, you know, a finger is a member of a body, a digit of the body, you know. And we have different parts of our body. These are different members of this one organism. So Paul has this analogy that everybody understands, how in a human body there's different parts which do different things. The hands pick things up. The ears hear. The hair in your ears keeps the bugs out. You know, like there's different things that different parts of your body do. But they're all connected. They all make up one organism. And Paul says, so also in Christ. So Christ has a body. And Paul's not talking about Jesus' biological body that when he came to earth and was born as a baby and died and rose again with a body. He's not talking about that. But he's saying, in some sense, Jesus' body, Christ's body, is his people, those who believe in him. So this community of people who believe in Jesus come together and they form a body. That's what we are. And they're all connected to him. And different people do different things. They have different gifts. They serve different ways. Not everybody does the exact same way. And that's good because the church, the body, needs different people helping and serving in different ways to work properly. Just like a human body, you know, you need toes to do toe things and you need ears to do ear things. Like, you need different body parts to do different things. We're all part of the whole. We all serve other members of the whole. We're all connected. And Paul writes that there are Jews and Greeks and slaves and free people all together in the same body. So within Christ's body, within this community of believers, there are people who normally would be considered distinct. They'd be considered separate because of their background, their ethnicity, their language, how much money they have. They would maybe not associate with each other, but in Christ's body, we're united. Isn't this good news? Somebody say amen. This is good news. We're united in Christ's body. And he says, yet all of us are baptized into one body. You see that? We're baptized into one body. So when they become believers in Christ, they become part of the body. Baptism here stands in. It's a way to talk about that first initial time of coming into faith. But when we go on record as Christians through baptism, we become part of the local church. That's the pattern. And although we're a diverse group of people, we're unified because of our common faith in Christ. We've all been baptized into Christ. We've all trusted in Christ, those of us who believe. And so we have this in common. We share Christ in common. We're connected to Christ in common. Our faith is in him. We're not trusting in ourselves. We're trusting in him. And so that unites us. And then Paul writes in verse 13, he says, all have been given one spirit to drink. He's not talking about that kind of spirit. Where'd your mind go? He's talking about the Holy Spirit, okay, that we've been given to drink, okay? And that's something else that we have in common, that each believer in Christ has the Holy Spirit of God inside him or her, that we've taken him in to the deepest part of ourselves, okay? And the Holy Spirit has given each one of us new life. And the same Holy Spirit that I have is the same Holy Spirit you have, okay? So we're spiritually unified, quite literally, spiritually unified. Each of us has taken the Spirit deep inside us, and that Spirit is transforming us and also connecting us to each other, okay? Now, how do we talk about membership in our culture today? I was trying to think about different ways that we would say outside of church, oh, I'm a member of something. And I think the most common one is Costco, right? Like, you're a member of Costco. Like, you pay your yearly fee. You get good prices at the store. That's it. You know, you're a member. you have a membership number. Or our family, we like to sometimes go down to Niantic and walk along the shoreline, and we walk by a yacht club, a boat club. Okay, it's fancy. And there's a sign out in front as you walk by on the sidewalk. It says, members and guests only. You know, members only can come here. So if you pay your dues to the yacht club, and probably you have to know somebody to join. I don't know. I haven't tried. I don't have a boat. But but then you have the privilege of standing on their private beach and mooring your boat on their dock. You know, you have certain privileges that come along with paying that money and following whatever rules they have, participating. There's a book club at the library. I was invited to go talk to this book club one day. The group of people they meet, as I recall, is a group of ladies that they meet on Wednesdays after lunch, and they discuss books together. And so they would say that they're members of the club. So they have an interest in common that we want to talk about books together. And they show up and they do it, okay? Or sometimes we say, or not sometimes, you can be a member of a political party. And I remember when I registered for the party that I'm a member of, I just signed a card and handed it to the town clerk, as I recall, and I was a member, right? And what's the requirement for membership? Well, if you're going to be a Republican, the requirement is that you're not a Democrat. That's pretty much it, right? You're not a libertarian, and you're not something else, so you're one of us. You just have to be one and not the others. That's the requirement, okay? And so those are some ways that we think about membership in our culture, and it's typically transactional, right? You do your part, and then you pay your money, or you do your thing, and then you get certain privileges or rights or services back. Or there's a certain kind of affiliation. You might have a certain interest in common. But the idea of being a member of a body, it's only metaphorical. You know, if you stop paying the membership fee at Costco, you can't shop there anymore. But it's not like the other members are saying, oh, it feels like my foot has been amputated. That one guy's not a member anymore. They're not saying that, you know? And it's not like you're going to shrivel up and die because you're not connected to Costco anymore. You can go to Big Y. It's going to be fine, you know? So membership in a church is something different. The idea of being a body part connected to a body, for us, it's more than just an idea. It's more than just a metaphor. There's something real here. There's a spiritual connection through faith in Christ, through the Holy Spirit of God, whom we share. God has chosen to keep you alive and nourished spiritually through your connection to his people. What God has decided. Of all the things God could have done, he said, the vehicle for your discipleship is the local church, is a group of people meeting together. And we're going to talk more about this next week too. But local church membership is an affirmation of this reality that we have Christ in common. And on the part of the members, it's a submission to God's way of overseeing our discipleship, that we say, yes, I will connect to these people. I belong to them. They belong to me. It's a context in which we experience the reality of our joint membership in Christ. So, believers in Christ are part of his body. And that's the first couple of verses, 12 and 13. And now I want to talk about verses 14 to 24. If you look back at the text, in verses 14 to 24, Paul deals directly with this problem of how, when the church people tend to dislike each other and criticize each other and point out ways that other people are annoying or there's something wrong with somebody else. The way you should be more like me than you are like you. You know, you should be more like me. Now, Paul's going to deal with this issue, okay? And what he says is that what we are is a body. If this is really true, and if it's really true that the different people are different parts of the body, this kind of criticism that we tend to have towards each other is really silly. It's really ridiculous. It would be ridiculous for a finger to criticize an ear. You know, like, we're different from each other, but we're all connected. The nose shouldn't say to another part of the body, oh, you shouldn't be a nose. The eye shouldn't say to the hand, I don't need you. So the ways that we're different are important. It's vital to the body that we're different from each other. Every part is important. Even the parts that don't get all the attention are important. I want to pause for a second and talk about two aspects of the church, or two ways to think about the church. You can talk about the universal church, and you can talk about the local church. The universal church is all the believers in Christ throughout history and in all places all over the world. It's the group of people that are going to be together in heaven. They're going to be together when Jesus comes back. All believers in him are going to be united in one place. The dead will be raised, you know. So that's the universal church. And the local church is a group of Christians who regularly meet together, like in an actual place, you know, us. We'll define this more specifically next week. But in Corinth, when Paul's writing to this church, he is in this passage that we just read, is he talking about the universal church that we're members of? Are we members of the universal church, like the church over all time and over throughout history and in all places? Or is he talking about we're members of a local church, like a specific group of people? This is a really important question, because some people might say, I'm part of the universal church, but it's not that important for me to be joined to a local church. So how would we answer this question? If you look at verse 13, he says, we are all baptized into one body. Now, Paul says we. He's including himself in that. He's not part of the local church in Corinth. He lives somewhere else. He's writing a letter to them from somewhere else. So he's not part of that church. So it seems like in that verse, he's talking more about the universal church, right? But if you look at verse 22, he says the weaker parts are indispensable. The weaker parts of the body are indispensable. And it seems like in the context of 1 Corinthians, he's talking about, like, in a local church, certain people have certain gifts. Some of those gifts are more recognized and celebrated. Other gifts are less so, but those other people still matter. And so that seems to be more leaning into the idea of the local church, in the way that people who know each other and meet together serve each other and use their gifts to help each other out. So that seems to be more, it's leaning into the idea of the local church. When you think about how you need someone or honor someone or suffer with someone, he talks about that later in the passage. It's not that you're going to suffer with somebody from 1703. You know, it's not that you're going to suffer with somebody from Zimbabwe who's far away. So there's an idea that you suffer with the people that you know and that you're connected with in the local body, real people that you know, you've interacted with, and you've decided to be committed to. So he's talking about both things, the universal church and the local church, membership in both. And you can put these ideas together this way. The local church is an outpost of the universal church. It's like Calvary Chapel is an embassy of heaven in Canterbury. And so the unity that we share in our local church needs to reflect the unity that we're going to share in heaven when Jesus comes back. But the membership, the connection that we have to each other as we gather week to week, that should reflect the membership that we have in Jesus' body in heaven when he comes back at the end of time when he makes all things new. So we represent, we're an embassy from the future right here. That's kind of cool, right? So back to this idea of how we need each other. Sometimes you don't notice how important a part of the body is until it gets injured. I didn't consider how important my ankle was until I hurt it, you know, last year. And then I was walking along and I kept falling over. I was like, oh, I guess my ankle is pretty important. And then when I had surgery on it and I couldn't use it and I had to be laid up and I couldn't drive and Zuleika had to drive me everywhere, I was like, I guess my ankle kind of matters. I had never really thought about it. The idea for church is that we need each other. Every member is important. Every person is important. And we need to care for each other, especially the people who are struggling. And their health is vital to the whole body, to the whole fellowship. We should never say to another person in the local church, I don't need you. And we shouldn't say to the body, we shouldn't be individuals separate from the body, saying to the body, I don't need to be connected to you. I don't need you. I can just be a little ear all by myself, get disconnected from any face. That makes no sense. We need to be connected. So if I may be so bold, if you're a believer in Christ, and you have been, this isn't something new to you. You know, you've been trusting in Christ for a while, and you're not a member of a local church, may I ask you why that is? Why haven't you become a member of a local church? Is it because you look at the other people in the local church and you see their problems and you see their faults and you're like, I'm not sure I want to get into that. I don't want to join forces with them. I'm not sure if I want to. Are you saying to the body, are you saying, I don't need you? I can just be my own little body part out on my own? I'm here today to tell you that the local church, in spite of all our problems and our failures and our sins, and we have many, is God's vehicle for your discipleship. It's God's vehicle for your growth in Christ. And I want to encourage you to be humble enough to lock arms with a local church, to officially become part of it, to give the church permission to hold you accountable to the Word of God. And for the members that are here, you can be a member and sort of be off doing your own thing too and not sharing your struggles and your with the local church too. You can separate yourself even if you're an official member. So be humble enough to give the church permission to hold you accountable to the Word of God and let us do the same for you. You can hold me accountable to the Word of God. Don't say to the local church, I don't need you. It's not true. We do need each other. Paul tells the church in verses 25 to 27 now that instead of considering certain people less important, they should work against, look at this in verse 25, against division in the body. Against division in the body. Think about that phrase. When people in a local church are competing or they're arguing, it's like division in a body. Like, we hear that phrase and it just, like, it sounds so, like, institutional or something. But think about it in terms of an actual body. It's like a wound in a muscle, or it's like a dislocated joint when people in the body are at odds with each other. So instead of being like that, when a certain member is honored, we should rejoice. The rest of us should rejoice. Not be jealous because they're getting praised, but rejoice with them, celebrate with them. And when a member is suffering, we should come alongside and suffer with them. Now, this, what I'm going to tell you next doesn't sound like a very appealing sales pitch. It's not a sales pitch, but I'm not trying to sell you something. I'm asking you to do something else when I ask you to be connected to the local church. But here goes, okay? Relationships are messy. Can I get a witness? Amen. Church is messy, okay? I'm a mess. I have a lot of faults. I don't want to hurt you, but at some point, I'm probably going to hurt you. The people in our church have problems. Sometimes they're going to stand up during prayer time and share about their lives, and you're going to think, well, that's embarrassing. If I had that problem, I wouldn't talk about it. You know, that might happen. But in God's grace, God has chosen the local church to be the context for living out your relationships with him. Your relationship with him is lived out in your relationships with these people. These actual people that you see here in this room. He's called us to commit to one another, to serve each other, to care for each other, to mourn with each other, to suffer with each other, to rejoice with each other. Each one is vitally important. We need each other. So let's lean into that unity within the local church. Let's pursue it. If you aren't a member, an official member, and you want to find more about what it means to be a member, I would love to talk to you about that. And for all of us, let's stay connected to the body. You need the local church, and the local church needs you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word, this teaching that we've heard today. I pray that we would receive this as you want us to, with discernment, but also with faith. And I pray for your people here. I pray that we would be the body that you want us to be, under the Lord Jesus as our head, each part doing what you've called us to do, serving you and serving each other well in different ways, staying together. And I just ask you for your help. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We'll sing the next hymn together.